Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 4. 1 Peter and chapter 4. And we're trying to just keep the services the same way that we do every Sunday. And we want to have a special, and we appreciate each one that's coming in to be able to have these services, to be able to live stream them. And so those that are coming in to sing and to play the instruments and all that we have need of just to be able to have regular service. And so we do want to thank each one of them for doing that. And then, of course, I want to continue to prepare as if this auditorium was full, because I know that if everybody was here that's probably viewing this through live stream, we couldn't hold everybody in this auditorium. And so I know that God is working through this, and I stay with my regular routine. I was here last night, as I am every Saturday night, and praying for the people of this church, and then preparing myself to be used of God to present the message that God would have me to present to every Sunday and every Sunday night and Wednesday night, whether here or whether they're viewing through live stream. God knows where you're at. He knows what kind of special needs you have. And as long as you are seeking after the Lord, God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. And if you're viewing from live stream, then God has a message for you. And I trust that you'll open up your heart and receive it today. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 19. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this passage of Scripture that we have read. And Lord, I know that you have a message for each one of us through this. And so I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Peter was written to believers who were mostly suffering from persecution. The first century church, and they were under tremendous persecution, and Peter was prepared to write to them. And we know that everything that is written has been that's in the Bible has been preserved by God, and it was inspired by God. God has preserved that which He inspired for this entire New Testament church age. And so as this was God's word for them then, it is still God's word for us today. And so we have need of that. And so it's not only, he was writing to not only those who were suffering from persecution, although most of them were, but all of them were facing trials. And in verse 12, he says this, "Beloved, think it not strange." Now, I love that. Our minds, what's going on inside of us? What is our thinking right now? And he said, as they were going through these trials and they were under great persecution at that time, their thinking was very important. And he said, "Think it not strange." Can I tell you, it's easy to let our imagination control our thoughts. And as you go through some difficult times, you have to be aware that Satan is going to try to use it to his advantage. As much as you will allow him to, he will take away the peace that God would want you to have, and he can try to fill your mind and your heart with fear. And so as Peter was writing it, think it not strange, think it, not allowing ourselves to be controlled by wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. That idea of strange. The definition, according to the Webster's dictionary, is foreign. Not before known. Not according to the common way. So he says, think it not strange, as though some strange thing, there's that word again, strange thing, foreign thing, not before known thing, not according to the common way thing happened unto you. It's what you're going through. It's what you're facing. I hear people make a lot of comments today, and even believers, and I hear this a lot, and I might be guilty of some of saying some of the very same things, but and they say, "What's happening? Never seen anything like this. When will this end?" And then, why is God allowing this to happen to his church? Why is God allowing this to happen to those that God loves? And again, I think that what Peter said is something that God would have us to look to and think it not strange or foreign to God. It's not foreign to God. Think it not strange, not before known. God knows what's taking place. God, matter of fact, has prophesied in his word some of the things that would take place during this time that we're living in. It's all recorded. This is something that is not foreign to God. This is something that was not before known or not according to the common way or according to God's plan. Can I assure you that God is still right on schedule according to his plan? Don't ever think that God has not got a purpose for whatever he allows and whatever he brings into our lives. God has a plan, and we know the plan. God's recorded it for us. We even know how it ends. Now, we don't know exactly the time frame, you know, but we do know that God has a design for this New Testament church age. God has a plan for this New Testament church age, and God has a design end to this New Testament church age. And then what's going to take place after that? So think it not strange. Don't have this idea that this is foreign to God, or this is never before known of God, or that this is not according to God's plan and design for things. Beloved, think it not strange. concerning the fiery trial. No doubt those that are fighting, that have this coronavirus, it's a trial. Not only for everybody and how we're dealing with the results of this coronavirus and what is changing in our work and how it's changing our interaction, how it's changed our church services and how it's changed everything about our lives, basically. But others are actually dying from this, and others are fighting for their lives with this virus. And so all of these things taking place, some are going through more fiery trials than others, but can I tell you, it's all of us are facing somewhat of a trial right now, and it which is to try you. We go through trials, there's a purpose for that trial. It is to try you. And so think it not strange, as though some strange thing, something that it has never before known, something that is foreign to God or that's outside the plan of God or the will of God. We can't think that way. Yeah. We must learn from biblical history. We have the Bible to look to. And as we go back in the oldest book of the Bible, and I preached on Job a month or so ago, but we go back to the oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job, and it reveals to us the Bible character of Job. And God speaking about Job and his integrity and about the man that he was, in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, he says this, "There's none like him. He is a faithful, he is a God-fearing, he is someone that I love. There's none like Job." And then right after this, Job lost everything. Right after that, Job did not know all that was taking place, and all he's seen is a fiery trial. When he heard that his seven sons and three daughters and all his in-laws and all his grandchildren had died. Then he hears that everything, all his finances, everything that he had in this world was gone. And then Job would have to face even some of the most miserable pain associated with physical sickness. If anybody could have said, "What is going on? There's never been anything like this. When will this end? And why is God doing this to me?" If there's anyone that had reason to think it strange, would have been Job. But Job didn't think it strange. Job kept his faith and trust in God. We look at another Bible character in Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, look there with me. Genesis in chapter 41, Joseph was loved by his father Israel, or Jacob, who was named Israel. And he loved him, and chapter 41 of the book of Genesis, this is what Pharaoh even says about Joseph. He says in verse 38, "And Pharaoh said unto the servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Joseph was chosen by God and given this vision of being exalted to this position. He was given the vision that his brothers would bow down to him. He would be given a vision that his even mom and dad, they would look up to Joseph. He would have a position over the world, if you will. And in doing this, Joseph had that vision. And it is what had ended up happening. This is what the end of his vision, at the end of what had taken place in his life, this is where he's at. But how he got there would have been looked at as strange, hated by his brothers. That's not all that strange, but yeah. Seemingly hated by his brothers, and I have six brothers growing up. I was the youngest of seven, and at times, many times, I thought, yeah, my brothers hate me. They're all the time picking on me because I'm the youngest, and I'm the littlest at this point, and I'm my mom's favorite. But they didn't sell me into slavery. Maybe because dad was there, they probably would have if he wasn't there keeping them from that. But what I'm saying here is Joseph had this vision that he was going to accomplish these great things with his life, and yet he is hated and sold into slavery. He could have very easily have thought, what's going on? Never seen anything like this. How could God allow this to happen to me? But he didn't. He did what Peter is writing to us when he says, think it not strange, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Joseph did not throw a pity party for himself. He did not lose sight of the vision that God had given to him. Even though after he was sold into slavery and he was stayed focused on being used of God, even as a slave, he was unjustly placed into prison. He could have thought when he was put in prison, what a strange thing. How in the world can this lead to the fulfillment of the vision that God gave me? For 2 full years, he was left in the prison because he betrayed by the butler. And yet Joseph never thought it strange. Never thought it strange. Think of David. King David, as a shepherd, he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And even it was revealed in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14 that David was a man after God's own heart. Someone that God loved. Someone that God had plans for. And yet he had to run for his life when Saul wanted to kill him. And then once he became king, he had to face the death of his infant baby. Then he would have to face the reality of his rebellious family when his one son raped his daughter. And then another son, Absalom, killed his own brother and would have killed David if he could have. David, seeing all this, he could have said, what a strange thing that's happened. What a strange thing that God has allowed in my life. But you never find David saying that. We look back and we look at all that. Now we've seen the end of it. David did not. And it's not strange to us because we've seen how we can reread it and we can see how God used it. But at the time, David could not see that. It could have been very strange if he had allowed his imagination to run wild. If he had allowed his thinking to go beyond what God wanted him to go, he could have been thinking, what a strange thing's happened in my life. Well, let's move up to the New Testament and look at the life of John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 11, look there with me. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, this is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. A great man. God's saying to us, this is somebody that I love. This is somebody that is doing a great work. This is a great man. This is John the Baptist. And yet John was beheaded in prison. No doubt when he was going to be beheaded, he could have been thinking, why? What a strange thing. I can't understand it. Something tells me that John was not thinking that. As the great man that he was focused on the presence of God instead of thinking on something being strange. Think it not strange. Think it not strange, as though some strange thing is happening unto you. I think of the Apostle Paul. Once Paul got saved, he turned his entire being over to Jesus Christ. And he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And Jesus would reveal that Paul would accomplish some great things as one of his apostles, as one of his servants. And yet Paul, if you would read in the scriptures, find that he went through a lot of trying things, left for dead several times. All the things that the Bible says about what happened to Paul, in each and every one of those times and experiences, he could have said, what a strange thing's happening to me. But you'll not find Paul one time ever saying that. It's not how he dealt with it. Even the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John. John was able to write in the book of John concerning himself that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. I love that. God allowed him, being inspired by the Spirit of God, to be able to write, I'm the God's favorite. Basically, that's what you only find that in John's writings. You don't find that in the other writings, the Gospels. But in John's writings, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he's referring to himself. And yet he was placed on a deserted island where nothing or nobody was there. And in his own mind, he could have thought, what a strange thing. What a strange thing for God to allow them to put me on this island with nobody here. And yet on that island is where Jesus met him and revealed to him the book of Revelation. Yeah. Think it not strange. Think it not strange. None of what any born-again believer has or will go through ought never to be thought of as strange or foreign to God, not before known or not according to God's design. Go back with me. I trust you understand what we're talking about when he says, think it not strange, as though some strange things happened. Because now I want you to look down to verse 16. Because whatever we might have to face, how are we to view it? He tells us how we should not view it. We should never view it. Whatever it is that we have to face in our lives, we should not look at what it is as being some strange thing happening unto us. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Whatever it is, face it as a Christian. Maintain your faith and maintain your testimony. Face it as a Christian. Face it as someone who is Christ-like, who understands that he has a heavenly Father, who understands that he is in control of all things. As we go through this life, we are going to face a lot of things that we might look to and have a tendency to say, what a strange thing. But the Bible says, don't think of it that way. Don't look at it that way. Face it with the faith that I've given to you. Face it with the testimony of Christ. Wow. When I've seen that, that makes a huge difference in how we face the trials of life. That makes a huge difference as we go through this life. Because as a Christian, somebody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have a faith that can get us through anything and everything. That is what we need to look to instead of the fear factors and everything else going on. Instead of looking to a man, instead of looking to our own strength, look to our God by faith and then use our faith to maintain that Christian testimony. We are here for the purpose of glorifying God. That makes a difference. How can I glorify God in the midst of this coronavirus? How can I glorify God in the midst of having to stay home and have a church service from my television or my computer system? How can I glorify God when I can't even come in contact with people? How can I glorify God? Can I tell you that each and every one of us were in this situation and God understands it, and there is a way that you can glorify God in your situation, facing the trials that you're facing right now, whatever they might be. You have faith. And you have a testimony. And God wants you to use both of them to glorify Him. One last thing. This is a game changer right here. This is what will make the difference. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I love that because, first of all, look to a faithful Creator. I'm all the time telling people we serve a Creator God because we need to see the power and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. If we look to creation, if we look to this earth, if we look to the design of all things, can I tell you, when we understand that we have a God who loves us, that has designed all this and has created all this, that's even designed this body and created this body in His likeness, after His image, listen to me, that is the God that we have to look to. And you're fearful of a virus? When you have a Creator that's on your side and it allows you to look to Him and, matter of fact, has instructed us to look to Him as unto a faithful, one that will never leave us nor forsake us, one that is true to his word, creator. Don't have to depend upon the Republicans or the Democrats. Don't have to depend upon religion. You have a faithful creator to look to. And as we look to him, he says, commit the keeping of their souls to him. The keeping of yourself, that's your soul, that's who you are, to him. He'll keep us. He'll keep us. And we'll stay here as long as he wants us to stay here with the purpose of glorifying him. Our thinking, and I'm going to close with this, our thinking. Allow God, if we're not to think it strange, then the right thinking is allow God to be God, knowing that he saved me to glorify him here. Things I have no control over, allow God to be God. God is in control. Why? Because he's a faithful creator. Things are not foreign to God. Things are not beyond his knowledge, and things are not beyond his control. They're not strange. Our thinking, allow God to be God. Things that I can't control, he's in control. I'm just going to ask him to help me to know how to glorify him in the midst. And as you ask him to help you to know how you are to glorify him in the midst, also realize this. His plan is not only for us to glorify him here, but his plan is for us to be with him throughout all eternity. That's not strange. That's what God's revealed. As long as we're here, let's glorify him, because this is temporal. If we look and understand long term, God has a plan for all of us to be together with him throughout an eternity. In a new heaven, on a new earth, with a glorified body. Just thinking about that brings a smile to my face. Let's close with this. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. This is exactly what God tells us. Think it not strange, as though some strange thing's happening to you, but verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, if you just focus on the things that are seen, some strange things. But that's not our focus. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I trust you get a hold of this message. God has given us direction that is a game changer. That if you focus on this, it will allow you not only to get through this, but to accomplish some great and mighty things. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. How has God spoken to you? Just focus on what the Bible says and then how God has applied it to your life. I trust that I've preached the scriptures. exactly the way that God has revealed them to us, that the Spirit of God will help you to see how you need to apply this to your life. And as you apply it to your life, it'll change things. It's what we have need of. If you're viewing this and you don't know that you're saved, you do not have 100% assurance that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your eternal home, then you need to go to the Word of God and look to see what the Bible says that a person must do in order to have eternal life. Can I tell you that it's based on your belief and reception of Jesus Christ? If you'll believe in Him, He has a gift for you. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, saved from an eternal damnation and given a gift of everlasting life. If you've not done that, we're going to have one verse of invitation in just a minute. Would you simply just call upon the name of the Lord to be your Savior? Father, right now we bow before You. We thank You for the message, for the truths of Your Word. And I ask God that You would now make whatever application to whoever it is that's viewing this, that they would make the decisions that would be life-changing. Pray that You'd bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.